Right. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you add to us daily those that are being saved, Father, and that, Lord, you are building your church and that you are accomplishing your will. And I pray, Father, as we draw close to you and pursue you as people, just ordinary people, that we will step into everything that you have set out for us to do. Father, we declare that we are hungry and thirsty for you. We thank you, Father, even this morning that you are removing shame from those that are that feel there's a hindrance, Lord God. And I thank you, Father God, that there is freedom in your house, in your presence. When we come before your throne, Lord God, that we are free in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for that, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, like I said, I want to preach this short sermon or message. And then we're going to spend some time in ministry a bit later. And as I minister this, I want you to pray. I want you to not just sit there passively. Yes, go through the scriptures and stuff with me. But I want you to be sensitive to God even as I share this message with you. So if you can put up my first slide there, I'll appreciate it. So this morning we'll be looking at something very simple, something that we all know that is part of Christianity, I guess, and it's faith. Faith. Just faith. So I guess my question this morning to you is, what is faith to you? If you think of faith, what is that to you? What is the meaning? In other words, how would it influence your life, and what's the outflow when I think about faith? If I say I have faith, what do I mean? What do people see when I say I have faith? And if we think of Peter getting out of the boat, you know, that kind of sounds like, I mean, this dude walked on water. You know, that sounds like serious faith. So I think his testimony was good. But what is your testimony? What is faith to you? What can I expect when you say I am a person of faith? I guess the danger is that it's a nice cliche. It's something that I say because, you know, I've been a Christian for so long and it's part of the Christian thing. And I have faith. Okay, but let's look at that. If we look at the book of Acts, and you read the book of Acts, there's some incredible stuff. And last week I mentioned that I've been reading through the book of Acts, and I tell you, when you again read slowly through it, you see stuff. And when we get to chapter 5, now before I read the scripture, chapter 5 starts off with Ananias and Sapphira, who decides to sell a portion of land and then give some of the money to the church, which sounds like a great idea. I mean, so they sell the land, and he comes before Peter, and he offers the money to him, and Peter's question is this all the money? And he's like, yes. And you know the story. So he drops down dead and they carry him out, and his words to him is, you did not lie to man, but you are lying to God. So there's this place where, and as I was thinking through it, that the problem was that he was deceitful in his actions before God, that thought he can hide and hold a false representation of his faith before God, so to speak. And he drops down dead. And then 3 hours later, his wife walks in, and the same question, was that the full portion of the land? And she's like, yes, it is. And he's like, the same guys that just carried your husband out and buried him will be the same people that carry you out. And she drops down dead. And I mean, can you imagine this happens in church? But this is church. This is the early church. This is the power of God being demonstrated in ways that brought purification in the church even at that time. And as I read that, I mean, it is, as I was thinking about it, but Lord, how can you do this? And it was just this deceitful action that was not pleasing to the Lord, that they were willing, they agreed to lie to God, which was quite intense. And then we we pick it up in verse 12, and it says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Now, I like that word regularly. All right? Many signs and wonders were done regularly by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. Now, for those that don't know what a portico is, because I did not know, it's a stoop. It's a fancy word for a stoop. You know, when you look at the ancient buildings, they have these pillars, and then the high roof, and that's a stoop. Then it's a porch. Yeah. So this is what that is. Just for those that are wondering, as I did, that it was a stoop. So they were sitting on the stoop. Okay. Right. So we've got that. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people who gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Notice the word all. Any case, so I read this, and when I think of faith, then I feel like I'm falling short here now, because this is the start of the church. This is ordinary men, fishermen, anointed by the Spirit of the Lord, who is walking on this earth, doing incredible signs and wonders and miracles by the Spirit of the Lord. So much so that people would bring the sick so that when Peter walks by, just maybe shadow will fall on them and they be healed. Come on, saints. What is church about? What are we desiring? What are we pursuing? Are we fine just with, you know, coming Sunday to church or doing Wednesday, and the rest of the week we're just going through our motions? And I realized I've almost got a discontent, so to speak, in my spirit for not seeing this. So I'm wrestling now with the Lord. I want to see more of this in my life and in this congregation, but not just here, when I'm walking out there too. That the Spirit of the Lord God will be upon us, so that this world will know that He is God. And that we will see people getting saved because of the anointing that is upon our lives. Yeah, but Kobus, it says the apostles, the miracles was done by the apostles in the, and okay. So in chapter 6. I want to read this first. And the word of the Lord was increasing, and the number of the disciples in Jerusalem multiplied exceedingly, which we can understand if that's the kind of church that we are looking at. Even a great crowd of the priests obeyed the faith. So even the priests couldn't deny that there's a God at move here, okay? And then, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So who's Stephen? Yeah, we've got quite a few of you here. It's just Stephen. If you say Stephen, there's about three or four of them that will jump up. You know, it's like Stevens and Kubis's and Wilson's is a hostile takeover here, you know. I will not say let all the Wilsons stand up, because I think they're way ahead of us at this time. So, who was Stephen? So what happens, the Greek-speaking Jews come to the apostles and say, listen, our widows are being neglected. They're not getting the portion of food, and you need to do something about this. So the apostles get together, they decide, listen, it's not good for us to be waiters and look at tables and so on and neglect the ministering of the word of God. So they speak to the people and they say, okay, get 7 men from among you and listen to the criteria for ministering to the widows is they must be full of wisdom and the power of God, full of faith. That's the criteria. So in any case, they suggest 7 guys, they pray, eventually lay hands on them and they anoint them. So this is not the apostles. This is a congregant member. who's now been set apart for service. And Stephen is this guy. Stephen is this man who suddenly walks into full of the Spirit of God and does incredible miracles among the people. So what I am speaking and thinking about here is not just for the select few. It is for each one of us who have received the Spirit of the Lord God Almighty upon us to walk in this way. And can I stir a holy discontent within you this morning for where you are at? Just being a Christian, you are not just a Christian. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. The Spirit of God, the same Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, lives in you and me. So why are we so fearful? Because just now I'm going to tell you to maybe walk across the room and trust God for a prophetic word for somebody, and you're going to go, not so sure, Quibbers. Nah? At least not on the outside, because you'll be cool and calm and collected, yeah, you know. But inside you're like, you see, I'm not so sure I want to do that. But there's a Spirit that dwells within you, and the Spirit of God, if you've received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. Why? Because He's the one that's teaching us everything that Christ has taught us. He's the one that walks with us. He's our counselor. He's our helper. So in Matthew 17, this guy comes to Jesus and is like, Lord, have mercy on my son. He has these fits and stuff, and I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't set him free. And then Jesus turns to the lad and, you know, and rebukes him and sets him free and so on. And then this happens. Jesus speaks to them, and Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, because they come to him privately, Lord, why could we not set him free? And he's like, because of your unbelief. And I want to tell you this morning, unbelief is our worst enemy. Unbelief is your worst enemy. So he says, because of your unbelief. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, and we quote this scripture. Okay, none of you. You shall say to this mountain, not Table Mountain. It's not included in the scripture, just by the way. So any other mountain, Table Mountain, you must leave alone. If you say to the mountain, move here or to there, it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. And I want us to see and understand and realize there's so much more in this walk in God than what we are experiencing right now. And it's not for the few. It is for us. It is for me and you. I long for the day at the moment where the church is not just leaving the building. They are the church wherever they are. Okay? And again, I'll say this. Unbelief is our worst enemy. Because when I don't believe, I cannot say that I have faith. When I shrink back, when I am in fear, when anxiety and stuff grips my life, I cannot say that I'm in faith. Then I am in fear. Then I am in unbelief. Reasoning, along with unbelief, reasoning many times leads to unbelief because I think myself into unbelief. Circumstances can feed unbelief because I look at the circumstances and it's not changing, and then I go like, oh, what the heck? And I don't have God's here. Come on. That is not what we are called to. Not a life of unbelief, but a life of faith. And walking in that. Romans 12 verse 3, and this is just after Paul obviously says to them, listen, I need you to renew your minds. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not look like this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Come on, so there's effort. There's a place where I'm studying scripture, when I'm feeding my spirit and not my flesh. Some of us are feeding on the wrong stuff. Not enough of God's word and His spirit, but lots of other stuff. And then I'm in unbelief, or I don't see stuff happening in my life, and I wonder why. So Romans 12, 3b says this, but set your mind to be right-minded, even as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. Great news. You have been dealt a measure of faith. So the truth is actually that you cannot say to me that I don't have faith, because you've been given a measure of faith. All of us, just do this quickly. You've been given a measure of muscle. If you don't practice the measure, it starts shaking. We give great attention to gymming and exercising and eating healthy and all these things. Yet we neglect feeding our minds and our spirit with the Word of God. Meditating on it, thinking on it, pondering about, and more importantly, becoming doers of it, not just hearers only. So all we need is faith like a mustard seed. And I think Paul would know this because he walked in it. Peter knew this because he walked in it. The saints of old walked in it, that measure of faith. They saw incredible things. So I want to ask you, do you want to see more of God in your life?
Yes.
Then just have faith. It's very simple. Nah. We're not sure, Kubus. We'll get back to you. So this week we're going to have a testing week. We're going to have faith testing week this week. We want to see us stepping out in faith. Amen?
Amen.
All right, three will do it. Okay, great stuff. Hebrews 11 was one. So let's consider faith. Let's look at what Scripture says. And I know many of these Scriptures we know. We read them, we study them, we can even quote them. And I would just want us to ponder on them again and feed our spirits with the Word of God this morning. Okay? Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a great report. By it we will obtain a great report if we walk in this. Faith is the substance of things we hope for, the stuff we want to see, the stuff we want to desire. My hope is for a church that is radical. That is radical. I don't have another word. I'm out of words. It's not just here, saints. It's not just the guy behind the pulpit. It's not just the worship team. It's us who have hope and that's walking it, and we see what God is doing in our lives. You know, Sundays we should have a contest for who wants to testify the most of what God has done. I want to see that Sunday still. Where I don't get to preach. Yes. And the people share what God has been doing through them in this whole week. Hebrews 11:6, ouch, says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We have to look at, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please him. I want to be pleasing to God. I want to take my mustard seed faith and go, Father, this is all I have. Can you see it? Nah? Because sometimes we like, do I have faith? I can't see it. I must put the glasses on now because you have a measure of faith. And as you walk in it, please believe that God is there, that he wants to reward you, he wants to work with you. Many of us sitting here, you know, when the Spirit of God puts that thing in your heart, you know, I just want you to tell that person I love them. And then you're going to go, oh, devil, get away from me, you. Nah? Or we go like, oh, no, it can't be. It's the wrong timing. I'm in a hurry. You know, I need to get to Checkers. And we're rushed. We don't pause to hear what the Spirit wants to do with us in every day. And this morning, I trust that we will again just get a glimpse and a hunger for God just moving through each one of us every day. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now, can I ask, why is this scripture in the Bible? It's for us. It's to help you and me. Because all we have to do, if I can believe, if I can just take that step and believe, if I can just believe. Some things are possible for him who believes. Oh, sorry, did I read it wrong? It's another translation that says, there's the unbelieving translation that says that. Nah. I want to trust God for this, that all things will be possible for those who believe. I want to be a man of faith. I want us to be people of faith. That when the obstacles come in, they like fearful because they see people of faith. Yeah. I said that a couple of weeks ago, where if we wake up, the devil is like, okay, boys, we have trouble. He's got up. Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say to you, all things, whatever you ask, praying, believe that you shall receive them, and it will be done. It will be to you. Strange English. Again, some things. No, it's all things. Whatever we ask. Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So if I'm not in the word, if I'm not in scripture, if I don't study it, if I don't read it, if I'm not positioning myself in such a way that the word of God has a time to impact my life, then guess what? I will have no faith if I don't do that. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. I need to have the word. And listen, be careful that the hearing of the word is not just blasé, but there's purpose to it. You actually listening. In our day and age, we can put on a podcast or, you know, the Bible app and let it read to me, and you are not there. Yeah, but I read the Bible this morning. No, you did not. Someone else read it. And he's getting all the revelation, and you're sitting there going, yes, yeah, I wonder if that special at Checkers is still on. You know, that roast beef, I must go buy it. And then, come on, don't tell me this doesn't happen to you. It's only pastors that suffer from this. Okay? So faith comes by hearing. It's when I engage with God's word, when I sit in Bible school, when I do the effort of sitting here for 3 years every Monday night, when some holidays, sitting on the anointed word, when I'm at discipleship, when I'm in encounters, and that's the stuff that we do for to help you grow, that's when we grow. That's when I'm in small group, where we reason and think about scripture. That's where I'm walking with you one-on-one, and we're challenging one another. That's where the word of God stirs faith in my heart. May we be a church where we're stirring the faith. Not the news report. Just now it's quiet. Clovis, you touched the news report. Just back off, buddy. At the foundation of Christianity is faith. We become sons and daughters of God because of faith. In the fact that Jesus, God sent his only son because he loved us so much. Faith is at the very core of Christianity. If I don't have faith, what do I have? I don't think I have anything. You see, if I read scripture, and I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures now, we live by faith and not by sight. That's supposed to be the fact of our lives. Can I just say this? That I think we need to become aware of the devil wanting to pacify us and hinder us from walking in this life. Because even as I'm sharing this, some of you are sitting here and says, no, that's not possible, champ. That is unbelief already right there. That is listening to what the devil wants to sow instead of getting the word of God and wrestling with that. All things are possible for those who believe. So I guess the question is, what are we going to believe? Yeah, hopefully not all things that is out there, but all things that are in Scripture so that we can live them. Romans 1 verse 17 says this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Okay, so you don't believe me. Galatians 3:11 says this, the righteous shall live by, and that's the whole verse. The righteous shall live by faith. So if I'm not living by faith, I guess I've got a few other questions for myself. Because if I'm righteous, if I'm in right standing with God, then the result is a life by faith. If I'm in right standing with God, then fear and unbelief is not part of who I am. It's not my identity. It's not who God has set me free to be. When I go back to fear and unbelief, I'm leaving the righteousness of God behind. I still want to claim to be righteous and in right standing with Him, but I don't see unbelief in heaven. I don't see Jesus with unbelief. So unbelief is not part of who I am. Sure. Hebrews 10:38 says this, but my righteous one shall live by faith. Oh, there it is again. And then he continues and he says this, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That is a strong scripture. But then we claim grace. Oh Lord, just grace. I don't want to shrink back from God. I don't want him shrinking back from me. But my righteous one shall live by faith. You know, maybe you say, Quibus, but I can't walk in this because I've done X, Y, and Z. And as I prepared, I strongly believe God wants to remove that shame and that unbelief, and that thing that is hindering you from walking in this, even myself, to remove those stuff so that we can have freedom in Christ and actually walking in it. Hebrews 11:6, which I've read already, says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. See, I'm supposed not to walk by sight. Can we just agree here today? There's a lot of sight going on currently. We are seeing a lot of stuff, and it's hindering us from walking in faith. We are walking by sight. See, in order to put first things first, going back to Pastor Neil's sermon, in order to be putting first things first, I need to put faith first. I need to get back to where I'm trusting God fully again, unconditionally, sold out. My life laid down at the cross. It's not about me anymore. It's not about what I can or cannot do. It's about a supernatural God in my life. Whatever you need. When you have faith, if you pray, He says, you will receive it. And I believe there's this place where I'm intimate with God in faith. And as I walk with Him, my prayers will actually start aligning with His will, where my selfish will be transformed into a place where I humbly expect Him to do what He wants to do in my life. Where my faith is lined up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Faith in Jesus Christ, the God with whom nothing is impossible. Quibus, I believe. I guess the question then is, let's see what the fruit is of your belief. How am I looking different to the world? If I say that I believe, I will bear the fruit of the kingdom upon my life. And I think when we read the book of Acts, we see that fruit. Again, can I stir a discontentment within you for where you are at as a son of God and a child of God? Can I stir your spirit again to maybe just expect a little bit more? To step out a little bit more? To walk in faith just a little bit more? And to trust God to see those miracle working power upon your life? You say, we say we want revival. This is revival, saints. I believe this church will not be the same again when we walk in this. No amens. Okay, all right. So, okay, I'm on my own here. Okay. Acts 1 verse 8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in the church. No. It's out there. Have you noticed? Please not let our Christianity limit us to here. This is not what it's about. This is the gathering of the saints. This is where we can encourage one another in our faith, where we can stir one another, where we celebrate what God is doing. And then we go and we are disciples. We had a baptism yesterday, and when I shared a scripture that I'd never shared before at a baptism, but it's Matthew 28, 18 to 20, where Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. And then he says, man, I need you to go and make disciples. And when you do that, I want you to teach them. I want you to baptize them. And nothing will be impossible for you. You see, in this walk by the Spirit, I believe there will be a discipleship that happens. Because as the power of God and authority of God comes on us, we will teach people the words of God. We will baptize people. We will see the most incredible things because we align with the Word of God. It's time to get back to faith. It's time to get back to a place where we step out in faith again. Many of us sitting here when we were young believers, like I always say, if it moved, man, it got the gospel. It just had to look almost alive, and then I would share the gospel. And now we are so old in our Christian faith that, I don't know. But maybe we need to remind ourselves to step out again. To get rid of the distraction, the stuff, the idols that is keeping us busy and hindering us from walking in the truth of God. It is time to walk by faith and not by sight. It is time where the church leaves the building every Sunday and we are the church. Wherever God has placed us. Not just here, but out there. You see, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That scripture, you will shall receive power when the Spirit of God comes over. That is who we are. And we are His witnesses. And saints, when we do this, when we walk in this way, I believe darkness will fear. Demons will come out. Stuff's going to happen by the anointed of the Lord. You and me walking in faith by the Spirit of the Lord. So I want to stir your hearts. And can we stand? And I will ask the band to come up. And I want us to make some time. Because this morning, there are sick people here that needs to be healed. There are people here that are struggling with fear and unbelief and I don't know what else. And I want to trust God to set you free. It is time to walk in the freedom that Christ has bought for us. And I'm stepping out this morning in faith as much as you. Because the reality is nobody can respond. And that's okay, guy, I guess. But my faith is not that this morning. We're going to trust God that the King of Glory will come in. His power will be released here upon us. Our lives will be transformed. New anointing being released upon your life. That you are not just a Christian, but you are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. You are His ambassadors. You have been anointed to reconcile people to Christ Jesus. You have the spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead that dwells in you and me. So I want us to close our eyes. And I just want you to speak to your Father. And if there's unbelief this morning in your life, I want you to repent from that. If you want to. I guess you could stay there if you really want to. So Lord, I repent of my unbelief. And Lord God, for not walking by faith. But Lord, being distracted with other things. Lord, missing when you want to minister to people. At my workplace, in the shop mall, when I'm on holiday. Lord, I repent of missing what you want to do in my life. I repent, Lord, from walking away from the call on my life. Some of you here have prophetic words and you have unbelief that they are going to happen. You've let them go. You're not even expecting them to come true anymore. And God wants to restore those prophetic words this morning. Some of you are, someone must be wrestling here with a particular scripture. There's a place where you have to heal before God and just let God be God in your life. We cannot figure it all out, but He's God.